A soaring moment in American history occurred 100 years ago today. The Wright brothers made the first powered flights in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, with a plane they called the Wright Flyer. Many inventors had a hand in launching the airplane age, but there's no question that the Wright brothers built the first plane that a pilot could really fly. NPR's Joe Palca has this report on the conceptual breakthroughs that kept the Wright Flyer in the air.
There's a spit of land on the Potomac River in northern Virginia called Gravelly Point. People come here to launch a boat, ride a bike, or just have a picnic. Gravelly Point is also right at the end of the runway at National Airport. You can't really ignore the planes that fly past here every few minutes, but people tend to take them pretty much for granted. And part of the thanks for that goes to the Wright brothers. Even as designs changed and technology advanced, the basic principles that are built into the Wright Flyer remain a part of every aircraft you see today.
It's Wilbur and Orville Wright, who has shown the world their fly.
Just across the Potomac in Washington, D.C., the original Wright Flyer is on display at the National Air and Space Museum on the National Mall.
This is the actual Wright Brothers airplane, the airplane that flew in 1903.
Peter Jacob is curator of this exhibit. It's called The Wright Brothers and the Invention of the Aerial Age. For the exhibit, they've brought the Wright Flyer down from the ceiling where it usually hovers to eye level. To study this plane, you begin to understand why planes stay in the air.
It's a fairly good-sized airplane. The wings are just over 40 feet in length, 40 feet in span. It's a little bit over 20 feet long, the airplane. It's a biplane, which means it has two wings, one above the other, supported by vertical struts and bracing wires to keep it rigid.
Lots of people were working on flying a century ago, but Jacob says most people were trying to build a plane that would be stable in the air, one that would fly level no matter how hard and in which direction the wind blew.
The Wright brothers, having had experience with bicycles, were freed from this concept. If you think about a bicycle, it's a completely unstable machine, but it's an entirely controllable machine. So the Wrights thought of airplanes in the same way. They didn't think that the airplane had to be inherently stable for it to fly.
Of course, controlling a plane in the air is different than controlling a bike on the ground.
They recognized that an airplane has to fly in all three axes of motion. In other words, it has to climb and descent, balancing the wings, which is known as roll, and moving the nose from side to side, which is yaw. If you think about it, you know, if you're driving in a car, you only have to control in two dimensions, right? But if you're flying in the air in three-dimensional space, you have to control in three dimensions.
And the Wright Flyer has controls for all three. To control pitch, the climb and descent axis, there's something called an elevator. On the Wright Flyer, the elevator is an additional pair of two small wings mounted in front of the main wing. Moving the elevator up and down controls pitch.
Have you ever put your hand out of the window in the car?
Yeah.
And if you angle the front edge of your hand up, what happens?
Flies up.
The angle at front edge of your hand down, what happens? Gets pushed down. So the same thing with the elevator. By angling that surface, it's going to pitch down or pitch up the wing.
To control yaw, moving the nose of the plane right and left, the Wright Flyer uses a rudder, just like the rudder that moves a boat in the water. The third axis of motion is roll.
The way they controlled the airplane in roll was by literally twisting the wings, or warping the wings, as they called it.
This has the effect of changing the way air lifts either end of the wing. Anyone who's run around a house with arms outstretched imitating an airplane knows that to turn, you have to lower the wing on one side and raise it on the other.
If you look at the airplane closely, you can see those cables running from the outer edges of the wings and running down to this little hip cradle that the pilot is laying in. And by shifting the hips from side to side and moving that cradle, pulling on these wires, you would twist the wings in opposite directions to set up this differential lift and initiate turns.
The hip cradle is gone, but all modern planes have some way to control roll, just like the Wright Flyer did.
The Wright brothers flew on December 17, 1903. That's what we're celebrating this year, the 100th anniversary of those first historic flights. But what's even more important about this object is not that it was simply the first airplane to fly, but it embodies all the critical elements of all subsequent airplanes. Its control systems, its aerodynamics, its propeller are all the same that are used in modern airplanes. So that's why it's the important airplane. That's why it's the seminal object. And really, the Wright airplane was a true airplane.
An airplane that began an incredible century of flight. Joe Palca, NPR News.
Photographs and historic documents on that first flight are at npr.org.